Those who can, do. Those who cannot, do it on the internet. FancyPantsGangsters.com.
Welcome once again to the Well-Fed Guide to Life.
Who is that masked man?
I know. I don't even recognize your voice anymore.
I got a spoon. Look at the size of the spoon.
That's a man's spoon.
That's ridiculous.
That's a spaghetti spoon.
That's a spaghetti spoon. Jesus.
We are the Well-Fed Guide to Life. We are back.
Some of us never left.
No, you took extended breaks while I was gone.
We took a one-week break.
You did two shows while I was gone. Two shows. That's all you did.
Yeah, I suppose. But they were both a week.
Right.
Anyway.
Either way, we're back. I'm Dave, if you forgot who I was. And Evan is here. He isn't gone nearly as much as I am, apparently.
No.
I'm a little out of practice right now, so I don't remember where the hell we are.
We're sponsored by Hopchart.
Yeah, that's what we are. Yep. We're sponsored by Hopchart. I'm Dave, you're Evan.
We've already established that.
We're at Tumrup Thai, yes. In lovely Uptown, part of the revamped Uptown. Evan is already cursing his drink.
I'm not cursing it, but damn.
You all right?
I can smell the liquor coming off of this thing.
You should probably order another one.
Ooh.
Yeah, just make sure. You be okay?
I might be pantsless by the end of the show.
Why would that be a change from any other show?
Well... It's less a certainty. This time I think it's almost certain.
That's true. I'm back.
You are back. You are off in lovely Disneyburg.
I thought that's not what we decided on in the car.
I don't follow plans.
Well, you had a good one in the car, and now I can't remember.
It wasn't that good.
Oh. It was better than Disneyburg.
Yeah. What do you want from me?
Anyway.
I'm already half in the bag just from one sip I've had of this drink.
Yes, I'm back from the Epcot Food and Wine Festival in lovely Orlando, Florida, in Disney World. I was down there for 8 days. I probably gained about 15 pounds.
You look a little puffy.
I'm not kidding. I felt a little puffy towards the end. Like, it was getting hard to buckle the shorts.
Yeah.
After a while there.
That's why you need drawstrings. especially if you're in Florida.
Yeah. Well, I figured...
It should just be sweatpants and sweat shorts.
Well, here was my take. And it was a little disconcerting because we ate a lot down there. And when I mean a lot, I mean... Oh, my God.
Now, you were down there for how long?
8 days.
8 days.
Yeah.
You probably didn't bring groceries ever.
No. No,
so
we ate out
every meal.
Every
meal. So
we're
talking 20 meals.
Yeah. Now, breakfast we kind of skipped /... Grabbed, you know, some fruit from a cart, or
you're still talking at least a dozen.
Right. You know,
solid meals.
Typically we, in the morning, with the exception of one time where we actually went to a breakfast, we were eating in the morning just very very light, just something to get everything moving, for lack of a better term.
Mm-hmm.
We walked so much and sweat, and it was hot for most of the time we were down there. About half the time we were down there, it was hot. The other half of the time we were down there, it was extremely comfortable. Fat man weather. Low 70s, no humidity.
Nice.
It was, like, I kept thinking of you, which was kind of odd.
Especially when you're down there with your girlfriend.
Right. And, but the first couple days you're sweating so much and drinking a ton of water and not going to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
Period. I mean, not number one, not number two. At all.
Just can you get more specific?
Because you're burning off all that energy from walking. You literally did 8 to 9 miles a day of walking and sweating just profusely. So you start to, you know, about halfway through the trip, I'm realizing, and not to be vulgar, but I'm going to go ahead and do it. I haven't taken a dump yet since I got here. Something's wrong. Something might be wrong here. Finally, I did have that success.
Oh, good.
Yeah, which I know you were worried about.
Well, I was wondering about that message on Twitter that you posted shortly after. I thought that was interesting. Something about hallelujah, poop's coming. Something. I don't remember exactly. I'd have to look it up exactly, but I might be paraphrasing.
I prayed to St. Evan, the patron saint of pooping.
Well, I got nothing. Yeah, I got nothing. No response to that one.
And how could you? Honestly.
No.
Yes, ate a ton, walked a ton. Primarily down there for the Food and Wine Festival, which was going on. We did 3 days and just right this way.
Thank you.
Feel free to dive.
I'm going to. I'm actually very hungry.
But that's hot.
Yeah.
It looks hot.
It's a little hot. Yeah. It's right out of the fryer later.
The 3 days we did in Epcot. Should say 2.5 days we did in Epcot. And the other few days we split between the other parks. But primarily we're down there for that. And the way that they run the Food and Wine Festival is Epcot, the theme park, is split up into two sections. You have Future World, which has all the rides and, you know, the attractions. And then you have World Showcase, which is divided up into 9 different countries, each kind of a small representation of what a village in that said country would look like.
Circa mid-50s,
yes. Well, there are some that do look like... This kind of looks like, you know, if you get far enough back into some of these areas, you kind of get lost and forget that you're in Florida, except for the humidity and whatnot.
Yeah.
But in addition to these 9 countries, they also have 26 other food stands from different countries, each representing a different country or a different theme from around the world. So you have places like Argentina and New Zealand and South Africa, Germany, just really runs the game, Morocco. And so they have all these little kind of temporary food stands, much like you would see at the fair, things like that. Set up around this mile-round lagoon.
Nice. Was there any particular cart that seemed to be more popular than others? I would worry that, like, the Moroccan stand would maybe get a little less traffic than, say, the German stand.
The German stand was by far the busiest because it was also... The big beer stand as well. They had a temporary beer garden set up there.
Nice.
As well. So that by, and they were serving stuff that was, I don't want to call familiar, but they had a house-made bratwurst on a pretzel roll. These aren't like full-size entrees. They're little appetizer-size entrees, which is great if you're sharing and want to try a little bit of everything. Because if they were full-size, you'd get about halfway around and realize there's no way this is happening.
Mm-hmm. Any particular stands a favorite of yours?
Well,
and this isn't part of the Food and Wine experience. This is just kind of what's always going on.
Oh, no, this is part of the Food and Wine, Wine Festival. These temporary booths are not there all the time. It's only during October to, I believe it ends this week. And we tried every stand.
Okay.
They have a Food and Wine Festival Center.
Are you going to want these? Otherwise,
yeah.
I'm just going to destroy
Yeah, I've
these.
Only had one.
I know.
So I have
well,
one
I'm
going to
steal one of your egg rolls then.
I like dry leaf one.
What?
There. Go for it.
Mm.
So, they have this festival center that's set up in kind of an old attraction area that's been retired and basically been turned into an event center.
Okay.
And there they have a wine shop and they do demos, and Ghirardelli Chocolate has this huge, huge exhibit where it was all these sculptures made out of chocolate.
Score. Especially those are hard to keep, you know, hard to maintain in the Florida heat.
Well, that was indoor. And they were in cooling cases, but nevertheless extremely intricate and very, very cool to look at. So they have that, but you can also pick up in this festival center a Food and Wine Festival Passport.
Oh.
Which has, and I'm kind of kicking myself that I forgot to bring it, but you go to each stand and you get a stamp, much like you would with a passport.
Mm-hmm.
And once you're done, you go back and you get a final You've Been Everywhere stamp. Which is kind of just, it's nothing special, but it's kind of like, I did this, I accomplished this. Because it is an accomplishment. It becomes, you remember the Death March the first year of the State Fair?
Mm-hmm.
It kind of became that. Towards the end, they're like, I don't know if I can eat anymore. So you're trying to find the small, because each stand will have like 5 or 6 things on the menu, be it a wine or a specialty drink or food stuff. You're trying to find something on the menu that will count as your stamp.
Okay.
So it got to be a little challenging towards the end there. But it had some really unique things. It had this barbecue beef bun at the China stand that had a mango, kind of mango-y dressing on top of it with cucumbers and carrots and all that stuff.
Okay.
But it was like a bun that you know those, the pork buns you got at Moto E?
Yeah.
That was like that. So super, super fluffy dumpling almost.
Nice.
That was awesome. Probably my favorite thing was the lamb chop with chimichurri and then crushed potato chips over the top of it. So sweet, like a sea salt and vinegar potato, crumbled potato chip over the top.
Like, that's really weird.
I know. I thought the same thing, but with the texture of the potato chip and the salty, sweet, the sea salt and the vinegar, then mixed with all that lamby goodness, it was absolutely fantastic. So we did that.
Which booth was that at?
New Zealand.
Well, it's lamb, so that would make sense.
Right. But all things considered, when you look at, you know, 20 odd different countries, the one I'm thinking I'm probably not going to have great luck with is going to be New Zealand. But it was awesome.
Nice.
And I'm drooling all over myself.
Thank you. We should mention the food we're having here. Mm. We should start with what we're drinking.
Why don't you do that?
We'll start with what we're drinking. You went with the Surly.
Mm.
Having been out of the state for a week, did you get the Surly shakes a little bit?
No, but I did want a good beer. That was, I had one good beer the entire time I was down there.
Really?
And it happened to be a Sam Adams.
Hmm.
It's a limited time Russian Imperial.
Oh yeah.
Called Dark Depths.
Yeah, I've heard good things.
It's very good. We bought a couple bottles while we were down there.
Nice.
But yeah, I've got a Surly Furious right now.
Excellent. I went with one of their cocktails, which should be shocking to no one. I went with their Kaffir Thai Punch, which is it's kind of like a mojito in a lot of ways. It's actually kaffir lime leaves instead of mint. Let me see here. I don't know why I feel uncomfortable around that guy.
I know, I kind of feel
this is something I just don't like talking around. Yeah. Anyway, sorry.
Alright.
Kaffir lime leaves, sugar, and sour muddled together. And then we do a little Bacardi limon, which is good, and some soda. And then they top it with, I'm guessing, about a shot, you know, 2 ounces of dark rum, good dark rum, and a lime wedge. So it's kind of like a South American mojito in a weird way.
It looks kind of like a hybrid of a caipirinha.
Yeah.
And a mojito.
Nice rolling of the R, by the way. That was,
even with egg roll in the mouth.
Even with the egg roll, that's a
thank you.
It's an additional degree of difficulty.
Yeah. 10 points to Gryffindor.
Yeah, no doubt. It's very good. It's, as I mentioned before, it was very strong.
It was a pronounced amount of rum in there.
Yeah, they did not skimp on the rum, and it was a good rum. And I hope I'm pronouncing this right, the Kaffir limes. They tend to be a little more tart than limes you get at the store. So there was a definite kind of tartness to it, but it wasn't like drinking straight sour, which I do enjoy because I'm insane, according to my wife. But you know, it was a little more bitter and less tart, if that makes any sense. And especially with the leaves, the leaves mixed in definitely made it a little more bitter, but it wasn't like, I don't really like a lot of mojitos just because all I get is that kind of bitter herb flavor with it. And this is a little milder and along those lines. It's pretty tasty though. I will give them some credit on that. And we both got appetizers. I went with a safe choice, the cream cheese wontons, and they were outstanding as far as I'm concerned. That was
hard to go wrong, but they were good.
You know what though? I don't think it's as hard to go wrong with a wonton, because sometimes you can get, and cream cheese is cream cheese.
Right.
You know, I'm a big fan of the ones at Ginger Hop, where they mix in other stuff like caramelized onions. Those are awesome.
Yeah.
But the filling is kind of the I don't want to say unimportant, but you can only go upwards. You can't screw up the filling of the cream cheese wontons.
Right.
They do have jalapeno ones on here, but I
they also did have the cranberry ones.
Oh, I didn't see that.
That's why I said, are you sure those are the ones you want?
Oh, no, I didn't even see the cranberry ones.
Yeah, the cranberry, cranberry cream cheese wontons.
Oh, man, that sounds delicious.
And tis the season.
It's dessert wontons.
Considering it's
going to
snow tomorrow.
Yeah, no shit. But to me, the make or break for wontons are the actual wontons themselves.
I agree.
And these were well fried. They were substantial without being thick. And they were fluffy enough. Like I didn't feel like they were gonna fall apart in my hands like some places I've had where they use like almost like a phyllo dough or something. And it's basically just a boiling cream cheese time bomb in your hand.
That's scary.
It is. So you end up eating it too fast and it's horrible. That was really good. And that sweet and sour sauce is really good.
Yeah, it's similar to a duck sauce you might see at a Chinese or Szechuan style restaurant, or Cantonese restaurant, but it's a little bit lighter. It's not nearly as sugary.
To me, it was like you take that normal stuff you get from like the Chinese takeout that's like, you know, almost pink,
duck sauce,
almost pink. Yeah. You know? This was. It was a little smokier. There was a little bit of that kind of jalapeno-y kind of burn. Very mild.
Yeah. It was much more complex than your standard issue stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was outstanding.
And then it kind of had a honey sauce on the side of it, too.
On yours.
I got some egg rolls, and they were served.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The Thai-style egg rolls, so they were wrapped in the thinner lumpia skins as opposed to like a wonton skin.
Yeah.
So it's much crunchier. They're much smaller, but again,
more like cigars.
More like, yeah, exactly. Not wide like you would see in a Vietnamese. really?
Really? I didn't do anything.
Yeah, but you started giggling as soon as I said describing the width of the egg roll.
I'm preemptively beavising your likely. Yes.
Thank you.
No.
I think we're good.
Chopsticks, spice rack?
No, we're good.
I think we're good. Thank you. What was I saying?
You were talking about the girth of the...
The girth of the egg roll?
The girth of the egg roll.
The egg roll... Oh, God. It was a straight piece of lemongrass.
That's what you get.
I'm still laughing at your dish. Did you already spill on yourself?
I didn't spill on myself. I spilled on the table.
This is why we can't go to nice places.
I know.
The egg roll girth was much thinner. Again, like a cigar.
Yeah.
But it makes for a much more interesting filling.
You're not a girth man.
I'm not a girth man. I'm length.
It's very, you know.
I'm all length. It's all about the motion of the ocean.
That's right.
But they were very good. But again,
yeah, I like the one I took.
If you have not had Thai style egg rolls yet. They are very different than any other style.
I find myself, I'm a fan of the thinner, less girthy egg rolls.
Yeah, you are.
Mostly, and it has to do with that dough, because I like a little bit of kind of fragility. It's not quite crunch, but, you know, it's that...
That lumpia, the lumpia skins. And...
So the main course has arrived. You being the true man's man that you are, you went with a salad.
Not
with, I must say, the biggest goddamn cucumber slices I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, that is a mongoloid.
That, speaking of girth, that's
look at that shrimp. Look at that.
That's a John a Holmes shrimp. Cucumber. Yes, is what that is. Good God!
It is the Holmes style.
Cucumber. It is the Holmes style. And we've just come up with the name of the show.
Mm-hmm.
What salad did you get?
I got the grilled seafood salad, which I make a very, very similar version of at home. Same style dressing, Thai chilies, mint, there's some cilantro in here as well, red onions. I usually actually do green onions in mine. But then I only typically do grilled shrimp. This has some grilled squid in here as well. Nice light dressing. But what you're tasting is all the fresh herbs, so the mint. The lemongrass is very, very pronounced. There's a lot of lime in the dressing as well. So it just makes for a very lively, I should say, salad.
Lively?
Well, just in terms of, there's a lot of different flavor profiles going on in there. And it's very bright and vibrant. And this is kind of what I needed after the trip.
You need a little detox.
I needed
an internal scrubbing.
Yeah. Well, I needed to kind of juice the taste buds again.
Oh, okay.
Just, I needed something to kind of get everything going again. And the only thing I could think of, I didn't want something heavy. I didn't want something, you know, saucy or anything like that. I needed something that had a lot of, I don't want to call it natural flavors, but, you know, with the basil and the mint, and the lime and the onions and everything else in there. There's a lot of bright, vibrant flavors to kind of get the taste buds going again. I'm not saying you ate a lot of fried foods down there, but there was a lot. There were quite a few fried offerings.
You're overstressed. Overstressed your taste buds.
I think I might have sprained it.
You sprained your tongue.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna even let the obvious joke for that go away.
Mm-hmm. And your dad wasn't even there.
I wasn't where I was going to go, but that works. I went, again, slightly safer, but not terribly so.
Strange choice for you.
Well, I went with the sweet and sour fish. And, you know, I went with the traditional Thai, you know, fish choice, which was walleye.
Even you were a little perplexed at that, at seeing on the menu.
You know, it's funny, you know, a couple weeks ago I went to Grand Marais. And, you know, you're up in the North Woods, you gotta have a walleye, something. Walleye sandwich, something. Which it did. Had a really nice breaded walleye sandwich. And ever since then, I've had the walleye fever. I don't know what it is. Anytime I can get it, I've just been obsessed with it.
Does that come with a rash?
It is, but not where you'd expect it is, would be. So
fair enough.
When you take the, like, a traditional kind of sweet and sour, and the vegetable mix is pretty similar, you know, peppers, onions, tomatoes, pineapple, you know, kind of what you expect in a sweet and sour dish. But then you add the walleye to it, it's like this weird Lian Chin meets Long John Silver's vibe to it. It's like Vandy Camp's Chinese. It's a bizarre mix, but it works.
Okay.
I will say this. I've already found one bone in my walleye.
I think that should be expected.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you get a couple freebies.
Yep.
It's doing good. Everything's tasting
good. Yes, for sure. You get a couple freebies with walleye, but there's a limit. But so far, so good.
Hmm.
So you went down to Florida for this wine and food expo thing.
Mm-hmm.
We mentioned several times on the show that you were stalking Tyler Florence.
No, I. That's, well, I thought that's was ongoing.
Down there.
No.
I thought he was down there.
Nope, he wasn't.
He wasn't. Was he supposed to be there? Or?
No, no.
Who am I thinking? But
friend of the show, Andrew Zimmern, was there, overlapping, though we couldn't get in. Couldn't make it work.
Damn. Yeah. Did you pull the Do You Know Who I Am?
I nearly did that.
You nearly did?
Yeah.
You should have.
Well, he probably got me just thrown out.
Probably, but...
just would have walked away.
That's a good story nonetheless. So who did you meet? I know you met somebody.
Now, we went... They had special events going on during the entire festival, from wine tastings to cooking demonstrations to really, you know, special dinners with... you know, like 5 or 6 course dinners at certain restaurants or around property. But one of the marquee events is something called Party for the Senses, which I talked about on the show before.
Yep.
And just to summarize, it's an additional event, hard ticketed, so, you know, it's inside the excuse me, that was a surly. It's inside the theme park, but in a separate area, and it's inside this massive air-conditioned tent where they have got all these different restaurants have set up little booths similar to what you'd see at, I'm trying to think of something that's similar. Remember Festival of the Nations?
Yep.
Like that.
Okay.
I can't think of another way to describe it.
No, that's fine. I think any sort of food event or, mm-hmm. you know, a wedding show would be similar, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So they've got that going on, and each station has a wine pairing with their dessert or whatever they were offering.
I found a piece of that lemongrass you were talking about.
Yeah.
That'll put hair on your chest, man. Well,
it comes and goes quickly, but it's there.
Mm-hmm.
So. While they've got this going on, there's probably 30 different, you know, and little sample sizes at each station. While this is going on, they've also got Cirque du Soleil performing as well. Well, each station is set up by either restaurant on property or a regional restaurant or a national, well-known restaurant. And one of the restaurants was Robert Irvine's Eat in Hilton Head, South Carolina. Don't quote me on that. That sounds right.
That sounds right.
I'm thinking, no, that's cool. It's his title restaurant.
Yeah, Robert Irvine, of course, the guy from Dinner Impossible.
Dinner Impossible, Restaurant Impossible. I think he did a season of Iron Chef. Famous for getting laid off from Food Network for forging his resume.
Yeah. But he's back.
But being so popular, he was brought back. And in the limited amount that I've watched him on his shows, I really didn't... I'm not going to say he wasn't my cup of tea, but it kind of wasn't my cup of tea.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't really think anything of it. I just thought, oh, cool, there's restaurants here. Not thinking anything of it. And sure enough, he was there. You know, doing the whole meet and greet with everyone. But what was cool, and why I have a new respect for him, is when his stand got kind of a little bit behind, he jumped back there and started cooking with his people. And I thought that was cool.
Nice.
And, you know, he wasn't just barking out orders, he was cooking. You know, he was back there stirring and sauteing and prepping plates and whatnot. I thought that was surprising. I mean, he didn't have to do that.
No.
He had plenty of people there to help. But he, politely took a break from the long line of people that were there for his little meeting or posing for pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Went and did it, and went and,
oh.
and so I have a newfound respect that, you know, he's not just a food celebrity. He actually has some chops.
Mm-hmm. I always dug him. You know, I don't know why. Yeah, but there's just something about, you know, it's weird that he looks very, you know, he's a guy that I don't know if they said that he was or wasn't But, you know, he looks like a guy that, you know, spent some time in the military.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
Okay, I wasn't sure if that was part of the things he lied about.
He's a big dude.
Well, no, he's a huge dude.
Yeah, he is just as ripped as he is on television.
You mean that's not like an inflatable suit that they put him in?
No, he's got python. He's got
Hulk a big dude.
Yeah.
You know,
Hulk Hogan pythons.
And you know, he doesn't look like some of our favorite chefs, mm-hmm. guy chefs, mm-hmm. specifically. You know, I'm thinking, you know, your man love, Tyler Florence.
Right.
Andrew Zimmern.
Yep.
John Fesch. They look like chefs.
Yeah.
They look how you'd expect a chef to look.
Mm-hmm. Normal.
You know. Why can't I think of the guy's name now? Who the
Robert
hell are we?
Robert Irvine.
I was like, Robert something? He looks like a guy that I could see as a cook mm-hmm. at like Mickey's Diner or something.
Yeah.
You know, it may have to give him a few more prison tats.
Take away the accent.
Well, I'm just talking look.
Okay.
You know, he doesn't look like he would be the level of chef that he is. And I mean, and from what I've gathered, he's not like an amazing chef. I mean, he's not on the level of John Besh or any of those guys. But he holds his own. He's better than us. Mm-hmm. You know,
for what it's worth, at this event, his dish, his restaurant was doing was good, but it wasn't anywhere near one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it showed some chops in it. And if it was actually him that created the dish, it was a very creative dish and it was very good. It was a seared scallop, kind of this very, very light Asian slaw.
Okay.
But it was the slaw was too creamy for the scallop.
Oh, okay, yeah, I see that. I could see that being an issue.
Mm-hmm.
I am stuffed.
You mean, put the half.
Well, okay, I do have a complaint
here.
And we've been to plenty of Asian restaurants.
Yeah.
Typically, the the dish to rice ratio is about on parity.
You sure you just that was a lot of rice to put on the plate.
I want more rice. To me, there was not nearly enough rice.
That's surprising because that was a ton of rice.
It was, but there's also a ton of food here. If I mixed this up, it would just be. I want a good, almost 2-to-1 ratio rice to food, right, or rice to dish.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
I want more rice than food. I could go 1.5-to-1. That's fine. But this was like 2-to-1 food to rice. And while it doesn't affect my enjoyment now, it will affect leftovers.
Well, you could ask for more rice.
No, but they charge you. This goes back to my sauce thing.
I think if you showed them a little skin, you might be a little bit more successful.
You know, no. No, because no one's going to look at my semi-naked body and think that needs more food.
Your wife included.
Yes, exactly. So, again, it's a piddly concern, but a concern nonetheless.
Fair enough.
So now I'm like, do I take this home?
Yes.
I feel bad leaving it here, but I also don't want to have to cook rice just to eat my leftovers.
I think if you ask nicely, it might give you some rice.
No. Yeah. I'm Minnesotan. We don't know. No.
Are you ashamed to ask for more rice?
I am a little, yes.
That's what it gets down to.
That's fine.
Politeness.
It's the Minnesota thing.
I think you take it home.
Oh, no, I'm definitely going to take it home, but it's more like, do I make rice at home to balance this out? I could. We've got it. So I mean, so
the rice takes about a minute.
True. Anyway. So what was the big? What was for you? What was the highlight meal while you're down in Florida?
We ate at a place called Jico.
Okay.
There's 26 different resorts on property, and Walt Disney World proper, we call it.
The greater Walt Disneyland
area. Thank you. And one of them is Animal Kingdom Lodge, which is it's themed, and it's a very incredibly beautiful resort. I mean, and it butts up to the Animal Kingdom Park, and most of the rooms butt up against their Serengeti. So they've got giraffes and zebras and lions and all sorts of wild animals out there that you can see from your hotel room.
Nice.
It's pretty freaking awesome. We didn't stay there, unfortunately.
You're such a tease.
I know. But we did go to some of the more creative restaurants on property, just simply because it's a little bit more wild resort. And one of the places we went to was a place called Jico. And it's a South African restaurant.
Mm.
So a lot of different spices that we're not used to. And, you know, I want to say it's kind of like a cross between Southern barbecue and Indian food.
Yeah, that's the impression I've gotten from South African.
And I know that's like the weirdest...
It makes a lot of sense because, you know, it's very much, you know, there's a lot of similar influences.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's the English and white Europe, for lack of a better term. You know, Danish, you know, all the Scandinavian countries, there's that influence in there. But then you're also getting the native African. We've talked about African cuisine on the show several times before, where... Right. African is not that different than Indian.
Right. Very, very similar they're flavor profiles.
Very, very similar flavors, heavy reliance on a lot of spices.
Yep.
You know, but then you get the, you know, the European influence where you're getting, you know, again, more meat, more meat kind of flavors, more heavy sauces, things like that. So that totally makes sense. I have sweet and sour sauce on my arm.
Surprised you don't have it all over your face. So they, now in addition to having great South African food, they also have the largest selection of South African wines for purchase in North America.
I've heard good things about South African wines.
We probably got paid about $50 for the bottle.
Uh-huh.
And I probably would have paid about double for it. It was that good. It was amazing. Blend wine.
Okay.
So it was like Cabernet, Pinot Noir, and like Merlot.
Okay. So red, red, and red.
Red, red, red. Yeah.
Can I take about that?
Yeah. So I'm good.
Do you want it to go
back? I'm going to need a box, yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
So, I had that again. Wine, probably one of the best bottles of wine I've ever had.
Do you remember what it was called?
Yes.
He wrote it down.
I wrote it down. I sent it to myself.
Oh, that's good. Of course, you don't have it ready to call
I don't
call
remember
up.
Where it is. I don't know. I actually remember where it is. damn it.
Here, I'll dig through your email
while you So, had this great bottle of wine. And then proceeded to eat our way through the menu. And literally, it was one of the most expensive meals I've ever eaten. But it was...
Did you break three bills?
No.
No, okay.
But we came really close.
For two people, that's impressive.
For two people. Bottle of wine. We had an appetizer. We had something called Tibbs and Breek.
Okay.
And for lack of a better term, it was called... It was... it would be the equivalent of a samosa.
Oh, okay. I'm with you. I'm ready.
And so it was like crispy shell and then really good dipping sauce. It was the dumpling roll. Every good cuisine has to have...
Has had some dumpling.
Some dumpling of some type.
Yes.
And the dumpling is the unofficial food of the well-fed guide.
It is. And one of them. There's several.
Well... Think about all the things we love. We love dumplings.
Yeah.
We love momos.
We do.
We now love Tibbs and Breek.
Well, I have no opinion.
You would, there was
but
no,
I trust,
there's
I trust your judgment.
Zero reason why you wouldn't absolutely be like, I will have 8 or 9 more of these post-haste. So you had that, and they were filled with ground beef and chickpea. And then again, I had the spicy, when I mean spicy, not like blow your ass out spicy, but enough to leave a little bit like, here's a little something to remember me by. Type of spice.
A little slap on the ass.
A little
on the
slap
way out.
On the ass. Yeah. Just
I like that.
How you doing? Just, I'm here. I'm here. So that was awesome. That was a great way to start. And then we had 2 salads, which I didn't anticipate ordering, but they both looked so amazing that it's kind of like, well, why the hell not?
Okay.
So we had a pork belly and...
I'm already there. Yeah, I'm already with you.
Pork belly and beets and arugula salad.
Okay. Interesting.
Anything with pork belly is instantly good. There's no
true.
Way to screw it up.
That's true.
It's thick cut bacon.
Yeah.
There's no way to screw it up.
Yeah. No, I'm with you there.
So that was awesome. And it was perfectly done pork belly too. So it was that crispy, fatty, just unctuousness that you get through the whole thing. And then the salad that I ordered was a heirloom tomato, a watermelon,
okay,
and arugula and radish salad with like the citrus vinaigrette over the top of it. It
you've turned into a yuppie.
I know.
Are you gentlemen interested in seeing dessert menu?
I don't think
no,
so.
We're good. I think.
Thank you.
Right. You've turned into a yuppie.
I know. I realized how crazy it sounded, but. It was an heirloom tomato in the height of season. Come on. Even you can say that's one of the nature's finest gifts.
Okay, I'm gonna spout a little blasphemy,
okay.
A little shameful blasphemy
sure,
on my
ahead.
Part.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I am not...
Tread lightly.
I am not a tomato snob. I don't see a huge difference between a tomato I get, and I realize this may be just I haven't made an effort to try to discern the two.
Let's hope.
But I don't necessarily see much of a difference between a tomato that I get from, you know, Target in March versus an heirloom tomato at the height of the season.
I feel so sad for you.
Maybe someone's got a point, and part of the problem is you can't have them both at the same time. You can't have a tomato at the I'm willing to say part of it is that I've never made a real effort to try to find the difference. Part of it is I have the memory of a syphilitic war general from the 1800s. He's a thinker, just don't worry about it. Okay. Yeah, so I don't remember. I have a horrible memory for that kind of thing. So I've never been, and I don't want to phrase it like a tomato snob, but I've never been a connoisseur of tomatoes. I love them.
Right.
I'll eat them on everything.
Right.
But I've never been
okay.
discerning, I guess.
Okay. I can see that. And for an untrained palate such as yours.
Look, Mr. Arugula, watermelon,
well,
radish salad.
Well, okay, so you have this really... meaty tomato, not a whole lot of seeds in it, you know, very vibrant, fresh flavor to it. Could have just had that, and I would have been happy. And then you have the really, really sweet, but not like candied taste of the watermelon.
Okay.
So it wasn't a really, really sweet watermelon. Mm-hmm. It was just perfectly ripe, and not to the point where it's just like I can only eat. I can't eat a whole lot of watermelon for some reason.
Really?
It's so sweet. And for this, it was just the right amount of sweetness.
Okay.
And there wasn't a ton of it. The ratio was pretty even, but it wasn't like you were biting into like these huge pieces of watermelon. So you had that. The arugula, you had that nice pepperiness of the arugula, and the citrus, kind of citrusy dressing over the top. But what really brought it home were the radishes. And because they were these tiny baby radishes, no bigger than like the size of a marble.
Okay.
So not like the big radishes you just get at Cub or Rainbow or whatever. these tiny little radishes that had these really, really intense radish flavors. Like, I was like, where have these been all my life? Like, I don't know where they got them or where I could even get them around here. Because, you know, I shop at Whole Foods on a regular basis. And that seems to be the...
You sound like such
a freaking... I know. I realize I...
God, I shop at Whole Foods on a regular basis. You sound very preppy.
I'm sorry. I realize...
You shouldn't apologize. This is your coming out day.
This might be. But
rich suburban asshole. It's one of just grab it and hold on to it.
Fair enough. It's just I haven't been able... I've never seen them before.
Mm-hmm.
It was something I'd never seen before. It was just a miniature, you know, very, very acute radish. So that was awesome. And then we moved on to the main courses. I'll be honest, I can't remember what my girlfriend had.
It's all right.
And mostly because I kind of blacked out. I had duck breast that was about as perfectly cooked, medium rare duck breast. It tasted like steak. That's how good the duck breast was. It tasted like steak. And, you know, sliced along the, right against the grain there. So it was like this beautiful piece of filleted steak, and then you realize it's duck. This nice, kind of almost spicy sweet sauce over the top of it. And roasted vegetables. Oh my god. I think it was like $38. I think I would have paid $68 for it.
Wow.
Insane.
Sounds good.
Absolutely insane. And then tapped it off with some key lime cheesecake.
You're in Florida. You gotta have key lime something.
Right. That was insane. So that was probably the best meal we had. Most unique thing that I had down there, and because we got down there at the right season, is we went to a lobster house.
Okay, there. I remember that.
And, a crab house while we're down there. And it's stone crab season.
Okay.
And for those of you who don't know, stone crabs are a sustainable seafood product. So when they harvest the stone crabs, they only cut off one of the arms. Because it grows back its arm.
Oh. I thought... Okay. It just sounds like you're crippling them.
I know. No, it's, have a great night. It sounds horrible. Thank you. It sounds horrible, but it doesn't harm the crab at all. It grows back, and you know it's no worse for wear. What was I saying? So we had the stone crab claws, and I thought it was a little steep. You get two claws for $30.
Yeah, that's excessive.
However, until you see the size of said claws, it was the size of my arm. I actually have a picture of this, just to
get... We'll make, if you remember to send this to me.
I will. But okay,
I'm going to make this
public... I have
public,
it handy for you.
I'm going to make this public shaming right now. Yeah. If this picture is not...
Fair enough.
The album art, or the post picture for this thing, it's because Dave forgot to send it to me, and you should all point and laugh at him. All
right. So that's the size of said claws.
Okay.
That's a 12-inch plate. So
that's a sizable.
Yeah.
That's girthy.
And not only that, it doesn't really give it justice at how heavy they were.
Yeah, you see, here's a tip. A photography tip. If you want to show how big something is...
Yeah, you put something next to it.
You put your hand next to it.
Because it was bigger than my hand.
Well, I'm sure it was. Because
I have baby hands.
You do have wee delicate
hands. Yeah, I do, don't
hands.
I?
You have jeweler's hands.
I do.
I don't really know what that means, but it sounded good. Anyway.
I was going to say something really awful. But
yeah, you were.
But
I know where your mind was going.
They were the biggest... goddamn claws I've ever seen. Like, if I encountered that in the ocean, I would never go back in. I would never go back in. It was terrifying. And you pick the... You kind of look down at it and like, God, that's big. But then you pick it up, and it's like picking up like a baseball bat. It was
a baseball bat of crab meat.
Yeah. And it comes off and they pre-crack them back in the, and it's served cold.
Oh, okay.
Which I knew was going to happen, but kind of just unexpected.
Yeah.
And not something you're used to eating, something like that cold. And they pre-crack them, so you kind of have to do a little bit of the legwork when it comes to the table. And then you realize that you have enough crab meat to fill a pint glass. And that's what you order for the appetizer. And at $30, you're thinking, I've got two pint glasses full of crab meat. Delicious, delicious crab meat. For $30, and you're all of a sudden thinking, this was a wonderful deal. And I'm glad that it got here. But it's the harvest is only from October to like the end of November.
Okay.
So we got there, and they literally said that the harvest, our waitress said that the harvest had started late this year, so they only had them for like 3 days. Wow. So we just made it.
Well, so I'm glad that everything worked out for you.
It was a unique dining experience that you're just not going to get here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, even though we have great seafood suppliers in Coastal Seafoods, and even the local grocery stores are pretty good. That's just something that you're not going to get, and it has to be super, super fresh, just simply because the demand. I mean, we would have paid twice for the same amount up here.
Yeah,
just simply because of what it is.
Yeah.
So
final verdict before we wrap up here. My stuff was good.
Yeah.
I don't think I would come here on my own. I don't think it was that good.
Okay.
I enjoyed it. If someone said they were coming here, I would not veto it.
Right.
But there wasn't enough to
bring it back.
I don't even say that. I wouldn't pick this place.
Okay.
You know, and it's not just because of the location, but I would rather pick something like Ginger Hop, where you can get a similar style of food, mm-hmm. For roughly the same price.
Right.
And it just happens to be closer to my place, but
now there are some other Thai places that we'll try to get to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's Chiang Mai Thai, which is literally a block up west of where we're at right now. We haven't got to King and I Thai yet.
Nope.
Which is a very well known, well established.
Yeah.
We haven't made it to Sawatdee either. To any
no,
of them.
I haven't.
Even though it's a chain, it's a local, very Minneapolis based mm-hmm. chain. So I think we really need to do that.
Yeah, I'd be fine with that. Yeah.
Speaking of chains, and food for thought, did you know that your Juicy Lucy place, 5-8, is a chain?
I did not.
So, I believe that disqualifies it.
Well, okay, clarify.
There's a 5-8, the one we went to.
Yeah.
In South Minneapolis.
Sure.
And now, and there is a 5-8 Grill and Tavern up in Maplewood.
So two. We've been to places that are smaller chains than that.
Like what? How do you get a smaller chain than two?
No, I mean bigger chains. Sorry.
Like what? Name one.
Oh Christ! There's one where there's three of them. Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Well, you weren't on that show, but Chris and Rob's.
Okay.
There's three locations for that. I can guarantee you we've been to a place that has multiple locations. Pizza Luce.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. But
it'd be one thing
I believe it disqualifies you from making it a valid Juicy Lucy place.
Why?
Just because. Law.
No, just because. The Minnesota society has decreed that there shall be no more mats. One is enough. Doesn't mean that they did that because, oh, that's too good, we can't share that.
It is too good,
no,
and they shouldn't share.
No, and I must restate for the record, my allegiance to 5-8 is only in the mats versus 5-8 dichotomy.
Right.
If I'm given the vast...
Gun to head.
Yeah, if I'm given the vast array of different Juicy Lucy places, there are several places I would pick over 5-8. And many places I'd pick over Matt's.
Oh, dare you.
So, just clarifying.
Figured that was the one thing we haven't argued about in a while.
We haven't argued about
and
that.
And really needed to stoke the flame.
We need to start more fights.
Yeah, we do. But hopefully you'll bring more to the table next show. and I won't have to talk the entire time.
Well,
my voice is tired now.
Well, you were the one that went out and did stuff. I didn't do jack.
I know. I do stuff with my life. I'm important.
Don't,
I do things.
I go out and meet celebrities. Don't you dare.
I'm big time.
You met no one.
Yeah, I'm big time.
You met nobody. You gawked at the large man. You could do that at the gay 90s downtown if you wanted to.
Fair enough.
So.
I'm people.
You're people.
I know people who know people.
No, if you'd known people, you'd have been living at, you'd been staying at that hotel with the lions out
there.
That's true. Those are people.
Those are people. That's a whole different tax bracket.
That is a whole big time tax bracket. Speaking of tax brackets,
yes.
This will be out by the time most of
the election
people
is over.
Have voted at this point.
Yeah.
So it doesn't do me a whole lot of good to say go out and vote.
But
most
should.
Of you that listen to this should have already done it.
Right.
If
not, stop listening and go out and vote.
Yeah. Pause, go run out and vote. For right now, you can still same-day register in Minnesota.
Yep.
That might change, so you might as well do it now.
Unless you've actually done the reading on the actual amendment, you might want to vote against it. Because it's a terribly written bill.
Pretty much every opportunity you have, if it's a yes-no question, just vote no.
Exactly.
And I'm extending this to all states and all ballots.
Just vote no. Yep.
I don't care if the ballot is, should widows get $1 million?
Yep, check
no.
the blue box.
No. So, yeah. Anyone that listens to this show will probably guess where we fit on the political spectrum.
Right.
So we won't belabor that point of it. But
yeah, we're a straight Republican all the time.
Yes. It'll be very... I could be... I've already told Heather that I'm going to be down in the basement all night tomorrow night.
Watching
everything. And probably swearing quite a bit.
So you do that too. You just stay up for no freaking reason other than the fact, like, and you're glued to the TV. Like, somehow something's going to change.
If you're watching it.
Right.
Yeah.
Fucking CNN. Fuck you, CNN. But I am watching... I'm going to be watching Comedy Central's.
This is interesting because this is the first election that I've had no cable.
Oh.
So I'm going to have to figure out how to do that. Now, with the debates, all the cable channels, they were streaming. So, and I'd be willing to bet that they're going to be streaming something.
Right.
Maybe not the cable channels, but NBC would probably
get indecision. I don't think you're going to get
indecision. I can almost guarantee that.
See, that's what I'm going to watch.
Yeah. But.
I just feel bad for you now.
I know. But.
It's very
possible that I will be very cross next week.
If it doesn't go your way? I think you're pretty safe. I think
on some things, yes. Like, you know, and we talked about this the last show we did when we had Keen on to talk about the vote no stuff that he's been doing.
Right.
The polls so far have worried me on those two things. I think presidential, I think we're fairly safe.
I think we're actually safer on the other two questions.
You think so?
Yes, I do.
I don't want to put money on it because I don't want to bet how I think it's going to happen. Because I don't want it to happen how I think it's going to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
So
no, I think that the vote no on both both the voter registration.
And this is for Minnesota.
Yeah.
Based people, which most of our listeners are. But
there's an amendment to require voter registration.
Voter ID. Yeah. Pretty much everyone says you should be registered.
Right. Sorry. But to require voter ID before voting. And requires getting a free ID, a Minnesota ID, or, you know, a driver's license.
Yeah.
But it's a terribly written bill.
Mm-hmm.
And the administrative costs far exceed the amount. There were 130 cases of voter ID fraud in the X amount of people who actually voted.
Mm-hmm.
130.
And that was in the nation.
No, in Minnesota.
Oh, was that Minnesota?
But they were all committed by convicted felons. All 130 cases.
And I'm guessing most of those just thought they could vote, but found out they couldn't.
Right. But the administrative costs will be almost $50 million.
Yeah.
It seems a bit high to me. Seems like we could do something with a road or two.
Here,
public transit.
How about this? I think you can agree to this.
Yeah.
You and I, next election,
yep.
We will personally vet every person that votes.
Yeah.
And we will do it for a mere $10 million.
Yes, we will.
Yep. So you're already saving 80% of the costs.
Yep. It's the sacrifices we make.
Yeah, we would do that.
Yeah.
If you're that concerned about it, we will personally double check everybody.
You damn right we will.
So it'll cost you $10
million. Yep.
Seven cool. for me, three for you.
We'll need to work that out.
Well, I came up with the idea, so that's at least worth a couple mil.
Yeah, it's about 60-40, maybe.
Okay. We'll talk. We'll discuss.
I can still do with a lot of damage, 4 million.
Give me both.
It's a lot. That's Charlie Sheen money right there.
I don't know if that's Charlie Sheen money.
Well, it's a lot of coke and whores.
Well, yes, but...
But
if you shop around, $100 is coke and whores money.
That's
so true. and go to Craigslist or something, I don't know.
Jesus.
But I'm
worst take on vote no.
I'm gonna be
ever.
Yeah, no one's gonna be using this show as a
barometer on how to vote.
But I remember the last presidential election. No, two presidential elections ago when it was Bush and Kerry.
Yeah.
I was working overnight at Target at the time. I was hauling boxes.
I did the same thing. Yep.
And I had the little headset on while they were announcing the thing, and I was just despondent afterwards. And I really don't want a repeat of that.
I don't think I. Okay. No good can come of the turnout that we're both hoping against. I just don't think the country is that stupid anymore.
Well, the only thing that concerns me is, so like news organizations, they love polling, they love touting the national popular vote poll.
Yeah.
Which means nothing.
Right.
You know, like it or lump it, it's all about electoral votes. And electoral vote spread is going much more toward Obama.
Right.
But my concern is that And you know, you could make an argument the other way too, but if you look at the polling numbers, I know a lot of Obama fans that look at Mitt Romney and think, how the fuck can anyone vote for this guy?
Right.
And then when they see that he's doing, you know, neck and neck in terms of popular vote, my worry is that people that support Obama see that and basically get disillusioned and don't do anything.
Right.
When it's like, and it's really, it's much more in favor of Obama if you look at it electorally.
Right.
I think New York Times has it like 60-something%.
I think the voter turnout is going to be very low.
That'll be interesting.
Because this is going to come out as about as white racist yuppie as you can.
Okay.
But I don't think that they've done enough to get out the minority vote.
That'll be interesting.
The joy of we got a new black president, and it's going to be, you know, it's not going to be the status quo anymore. And to an extent it hasn't been, but it also has been very much a lot more of the same over the past 4 years. It's done some great things. I'm not saying he hasn't. But to me, it seems like they haven't done nearly the amount that they did last election in exploiting quotation marks.
I think that's a valid
voter.
You know,
and I think that will result in very low minority turnouts.
There's something to that.
I could be completely wrong.
No, there's something.
I don't watch
to
a
that.
Whole lot of BET.
No, okay, you were fine until you said that.
All my points are invalid.
Yeah, you're good, and then you say, oh, never mind. You're
10 points to Slytherin.
Yeah, that's right. From what I know, and I haven't really been following this, but from what I know, the early voting, especially in places like Ohio and Pennsylvania, has been much higher amongst minorities than it has been for whites.
Okay.
So, and the other thing you got to remember, and you said it very inelegantly, but it worked, is you don't watch BET.
I don't watch MTV either.
You are not the target of minority-focused campaigning.
The things I'm watching, unfortunately, I get a lot of Romney ads. Mm-hmm. I get much more Romney ads than I do.
Wait, you want to hear my interesting conspiracy theory? Mm. And this has to do with Facebook. And then we'll end it on this.
Fair enough.
Because we could talk for another hour about this.
Right. But, we'll recap it next week.
Whatever.
Because we're political like that.
So with Facebook, if you like something,
right,
every once in a while, they'll see a or if one of your friends likes something, every once in a while there'll be a posting on your timeline that says something like, you know, Dave Bergen likes fish, and it'll be whoever's running the page for fish, something right. that they recently posted, and they do
first
this,
off, I would never do that.
I know, but they do this randomly. Mm-hmm. Because I know for a fact that these people aren't re-liking the same thing over and over, so it's got to be, they got to be pushing this out.
Right.
All this stuff. Now, amongst my friends, I would say it's probably a good 80-20 Obama versus Romney.
Okay.
But I only ever see Romney ads on Facebook.
Yeah.
And I find that really weird.
Especially since you don't necessitate, or you don't, there's not a correlation between the Republican Party and social media. It just seems like there's like
I don't agree with that, but it's just, I think it's interesting that I've never seen, I see a lot of so-and-so likes Mitt Romney. I've almost never seen so-and-so likes Barack Obama.
Right.
I've never seen that. And that's, to me, that's, I don't want to say it's fishy, but that's interesting.
Yeah.
But regardless, we need to go.
CNN polls it at a dead heat.
But again, that's popular vote.
Right.
So they've been polling at a dead heat for the last week and a half.
Yeah.
So... anyway,
don't screw it up again, Florida.
No, it won't be Florida this time.
What do you think it'll be? It's gonna be the scapegoat.
It'll be Ohio again.
You think so?
Just like it was. Well, I don't know. I think that's where it's gonna be the linchpin.
Okay.
But what'll be Florida's gonna be interesting. Pennsylvania's gonna be interesting. Wisconsin will be interesting, depending on how that goes.
I think all of them except for the ones you just mentioned, with the exception of Ohio, go red state. But I think Ohio.
Pennsylvania. It'll be interesting.
I think it'll be a red state.
Well, all right. Well, we'll find out how right or wrong we all are
right.
in about 24 hours. So, anyway, we want to thank you guys for listening. As always, follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/wellfedguidetolife, foursquare.com/wellfedguidetolife, and twitter.com/wellfedguidefpg. There was something I was going to talk about related to food, and I cannot remember what it was.
Well, we just spent an hour talking about
it. I know, but it was something specific, and I cannot remember what it was. But if I think of it, I'll put it on the Facebook page. Happy late Halloween to everyone.
What did you say?
Happy late Halloween.
Oh.
Candymas, as I like to call
Candymas.
It. We've already gotten the stage 3 Halloween candy going, so that's awesome.
Come again?
Stage 1... Okay. We will end on this note.
Okay.
Stage 1 candy, and this applies to Halloween and Easter. Stage 1 candy is the candy that you get for the kids, but you end up eating yourself.
Example.
Just whatever... It's not specific
leftovers?
To a candy.
You're just saying leftovers.
No, it's the candy you buy with the intention of giving it to children,
right.
but... you eat it. You end up eating it yourself.
Before giving it to
the kids?
Oh, gotcha.
Okay. Which necessitates you buying stage 2 candy, which will go to the kids. Then, after the holidays, when all that candy's discounted, then it becomes stage 3 candy.
Okay.
And that's when you really go nuts, because it's like half off. So we've hit stage 3 candy for Halloween. And we're preparing for stage 1 Easter candy. Or Christmas candy.
I would say Christmas candy, probably.
Well, they've already got mint M&Ms and the white fudge Oreos out in the wild, so I'm ready to go. Anyway, thank you guys very much for listening, as always, and we'll see you next week.